Season 3, Episode 5, Good Afternoon. My name is Nick Russo. It is technically afternoon. I'm going in, y'all. I'm going to start doing more podcasts. I talk to the West Wing, which is the group of cubicle friends I have where I sit every day at work. And they're always so inspirational. I don't know if they realize it or not because I got them all by almost 20 years. And I certainly always still feel youthful exuberance in at least 3 to 5 days a week. Two of the days, not so much, but a big shout out to the West Wing because I asked them about some of their podcasting habits and how they listen to podcasts, and they're very honest, and I think that their genuine honesty always goes really, really far with me because then I know how to talk to you. Like, for instance, I just couldn't believe that certain people sit and talk in rooms by themselves over and over again for long periods of time, and then other people go and listen in podcast form. I guess I don't know what I really thought they were doing, but maybe what it is I just didn't give myself enough credit in that respect that you would sit and listen to just me talk, which is why I always started with Aaron Austin. Then we had Tori Espervoa, and then I kind of launched into season 3 by myself, and I'm becoming more comfortable. Like, I put on headphones, so now I can actually hear myself when I talk, and it's not that I become a different person. I don't think that's it at all. I think that a performative aspect of my personality gets exhibited when on stage or in front of a microphone or when delivering information. I think that's really the key, which I love to do. I always love to talk anyway, so might as well just embrace this side of me. It's the gift of gab, if you will. I believe God gave me that gift, and I try to use it for good, not use it for bad. And I think one of the good ways I can do it is entertain people, especially folks who I know or feel like they know me. We've created this sort of friendship relationship from the radio or from social media to this podcast. And you see enough of my life on social media that you feel like you know me, and I kind of feel like you know me too, even though we know very little about each other in the reality grand scheme of things. But neither here nor there. I really am feeling more comfortable than ever doing these podcasts. So I'm going to launch 3 episodes. Hopefully today is the goal. So this first episode is going to be about the Rodeo Houston genre lineup. It's the reveal that they had a couple days ago. They told us all the different days. There's 11 and a half country shows. I'll tell you why I said 11 and a half and not 11 or 12. And then I'm going to post the interview I did last week with Zach Topp. He's a brand new country singer. He had a lot of success in the bluegrass world, has recently got signed to a record deal with Leo 33, which is a brand new record label out of Nashville. He's the first artist to get signed. And I listened to some of his music, and I knew there was something there. And we sent Reese, who is one of our new West Wing employees. He's one of the new AEs that got hired here at Odyssey Houston. He sits in the West Wing. And he went to the show, and he came back, and he was like, man, Zach Topp is the real deal. So I didn't get to see Zach until last week. And let me tell you, Reese was right. Zach Topp is the real deal. He's a really outstanding vocalist, singer-songwriter. He's got incredible charisma. He's really intelligent, and he doesn't take himself too seriously. He really hit all the marks on what you look for with a great country singer. So stick around for that interview, because I'm going to post that at the tail end of this episode. But let's talk about the Rodeo Houston genre lineup. So last week, they announced all 19 days. Going to do the math again. That's 7, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18. Okay, 20 days. 20 days of rodeo, 19 days on the calendar. Is that right? Either way, this is always weird to me. I'm going to quit trying to figure that out. I'm just going to tell you, the first opening night is country, second night is country, third night is Christian, fourth night hip-hop and rap, fifth night country, sixth night Latin, seventh country, eighth country, ninth country, 10th country, 11th EDM, 12th country, 13th Norteño, 14th country rock, 15th rap, 16th rock, country is the 17th, 18th is pop, the 19th and 20th both country shows. So those aren't the dates. Those are literally the number of days of rodeo. So there are 20 days and 11 and a half country shows because one is country rock. So that one kind of caught everybody's attention because there's always one thing or two things about the lineup that makes everybody talk the most. And country rock was one of them. People are really, really wondering if it's going to be Jelly Roll. Now, after looking through the comment section, it seemed like Jelly Roll and Hardy were the two guesses that came out the most for that day. So I'm going to split it up. Since it's country rock, I'm going to go ahead and put two guesses on that one. I'm going to guess Jelly Roll and I'm going to guess Hardy for Monday, March 11th. Now, opening night is always an interesting night because who's going to do it? Like, who can draw the biggest crowd for opening night? Like those dreamers would say, Morgan Wallen or Zach Bryan or Luke Combs. But I don't think that it's going to be either of them. I'm thinking maybe Turnpike Troubadours. I know that sounds crazy, but it just kind of came to me. They had such a great turnout last year. They've been successful. They're a Texas country-esque band. I believe they're actually from Oklahoma. Someone looked that up for me. But here, I guess I could look it up right now. So yeah, Turnpike Troubadours from Oklahoma, but they're beloved in Texas. So I think that I could see them being opening night of Rodeo Houston. That's guess one, Turnpike Troubadours. Then night two, I'm going to go with Jason Aldean. I just think that he's got a strong presence at the rodeo. He's been there the last couple of years. I think he really enjoys it. And he was here in the summer or the fall or whatever. So this would free him up from having to do another Houston date. So I'm going to go with Jason Aldean is the second one. Then Christian Artist. I go through the comments section on a lot of these just to see who people are guessing. Lauren Daigle seems to be the popular one. She was here last year. She loved it. She had the greatest time ever, so I could see her coming back again. And then hip-hop and rap, that's got to be Bun B's Southern Takeover again. And, that could be any array of artists. I'm hoping Lil Wayne comes. Lil Wayne has been touring. He's been doing small venues, but that would be sick. Lil Wayne, man, that would be something special. Lil Wayne would certainly, it would be completely sold out to the walls. To the walls. Y'all, let's manifest that. Lil Wayne, it gets already decided, so there's no manifesting now. Country on the first Saturday. I'm going to say that's Dierks Bentley. I think Dierks Bentley or Brad Paisley, one of those guys, because actually I think Luke Bryan might close it down again. I feel like he could be the final Saturday or the final Sunday, plus Brad Paisley and Dierks Bentley. Well, actually, no, Dierks Bentley cannot be on it because Dierks Bentley is playing Biggest Texas Fest with Thomas Rhett, so both of them are off. So Midland is also on that lineup, so I can't see them being there as well. So we go back to Cole Swindell is someone that I really think might end up on the rodeo lineup. I believe he played the San Antonio rodeo lineup. Maybe Lainey Wilson. It's not out of the question, y'all, that Lainey Wilson could be playing on March the 7th. Because here's the deal. On March the 8th, she's in Oklahoma. She's at Windstar Casino on the Dallas-Texas border. So I could see where Lainey Wilson is on March 7th and goes up to Oklahoma. So then that's because there's four shows there in the week. So I think Chris Stapleton is the March 14th. He's the Thursday of spring break. I believe that's going to be Chris Stapleton because that's the biggest night. And I think he's going to come again because he always sells it out. So, and he sells out the Woodlands anyway, even after doing rodeo. So that would make sense. So I don't think Luke Combs is coming because Luke Combs has back-to-back shows at NRG on his own in the fall of next year. So that's not going to happen. So we already said Cole Swindell. Ashley McBride, she could be back. I could see her coming back on a Tuesday or a Wednesday night because she had a great performance. She fits right in. And then maybe Megan. I don't think Megan Maroney is going to play it because she just did a sold-out show, but she might. She might. She could do it. And someone, I could see her doing March 4th. Oh, no, she can't do it because she's doing the show with John Party. Oh, maybe John Party can't be there either. They're doing the January show. Man, this is why doing a live podcast like this is what it is, because there's no one to talk back and forth with. But you're just hearing my free-for-all thought here, which I don't ever really get to share. Like, I might have this conversation with a coworker here or there, but very rarely can I really exercise all of my guesses. And part of that is because I'm nervous that if I got it right, people would think that I was like misleading or something because I'm so close to rodeo that, and then the Bowmans are just, I just love the Bowman family. And, Dr. Bowman, the president, and his wife and I have incredible conversations every time we get to talk, and we get to talk about country music and shows. And so I'm always nervous about spoiling it or feeling like I sort of put it through a different prism. But the truth is, Rodeo Houston is such an incredibly massive, monumental piece of our community that there is no overshadowing it. There's no way to really cast a negative light on it unless you're just awful about it. But I promise to never do that because I'm just not that kind of person, I guess. And there's nothing to really be upset about. Like, I actually find it comical and annoying, all the people that constantly complain about the lineup, because it does no good. Just don't come. Just stay home. You don't have to go to rodeo. It's okay. Everybody else is excited about it. You don't have to crap on things just because people are excited about it. And the lineup always does the trick. Also, big shout out to Lisa Gagnon, because she was one of the pioneers of a new way of thinking about the lineup and actually looking at the audience for what we really are as the audience. Because some of us, like myself and many people who might be listening to this who are volunteers, we're there all the time. Like, yes, we're working, but we're also voluntarily going on our free time because we love it so much. Like, we actually love being there. There's something about being a part of the organization that is fulfilling. And beyond the fact that my job is part of it, like, knowing all of the as many committee members as I can know and seeing the familiar faces and the security guards and even, like, the people who work and put on Rodeo Houston, like, that's so much fun to be a part of. And so that's why I embrace it. So there are a lot of us, but the average person isn't like that. The average person probably goes once a year, maybe. Maybe some people probably go once every couple of years, and tickets are easy to get, but they're actually not that easy to get like they were once. Because unless you know somebody or you're willing to go through the entire app process, or you're going to just take a chance, you're going to drive on down there and pay to get into the carnival and take the kids to the carnival, get some food and stuff and kind of feel the rodeo, but you don't actually go into NRG. There's lots of different ways that the Rodeo Houston audience gets sliced and diced, and we are an incredibly diverse city, so it makes sense. So again, that's a long-winded way of saying shout out to Lisa Gagnon from Rodeo Houston, because she really did help lead and steer rodeo to where they are today. And so I think that's about the whole lineup. I would guess on Norteño, but I can't really guess on it because I'm just not familiar with any of the names. Like, there's Los Tucanas, something or other. I feel like they might be there. But maybe by chance Rodeo Houston listens to this and will just let me say that if they put on a multi-Tejano night, like multi-artist sort of the way we do on the Southern Rap Takeover with Bun B. If you did a Go Tejano Day Takeover and picked Tejano artists from the Texas area, no disrespect to Norteño and the music that comes out of Mexico, but Tejano, was sort of defined to an audience as Texas country in Spanish. And so you have an entire, culture of people who have grown up on the sounds of Tejano. And if you brought in the right number of people and the right acts, you would have 70,000 people there show up. I believe that the delay has certainly been long enough that if they could put together, a group of 3 to 5 Tejano acts, true Tejano acts. And I say that with respect because it's not to take away from, I guess Grupo Frontera is from Texas. So maybe it's Grupo Frontera. That would be sick. Because that is like Tejano Norteño blend. That's the closest to the blend and closest to the traditional sound of Tejano that you're going to find is the music that, at least in my limited experience, I'm sure there are others. And so please, this is country, not country, right? I'm not an expert in Tejano or Spanish music by any stretch, but I have been here my whole life and I have been around it my whole life. So I do know that Tejano works when it's done properly. And I really think that a Go Tejano Day that's a true Tejano artist versus a Norteño artist would go a really long way. And then, respectfully, lovingly, I would say, if we're not going to, consider Tejano acts, then it should be Hispanic Heritage Day, honestly, because there really is a, it's a delicate conversation because, from the outside in, you don't understand. From the outside or from the inside out, you can't quite explain what, Tejano means to an entire generation of people. Like, there's some people that's what they claim, and it's because their families have been here for 13, 14, 15 generations, and they were the cowboys 15 generations ago. They were the ones, ranching and farming and raising cattle and doing all those things. And they spoke Spanish and English. They spoke both so that they could work with the Europeans and they could work with the Mexicans. And I guess it's near and dear to my heart because my hometown of Goliad is kind of right in the thick of it, right along the San Antonio River where that original border existed. So that's all I got to say about that when it comes to the Rodeo Houston genre lineup. I think I've cleared it off. So I think either Jelly Roll or Hardy for country rock. And then I think I think Brad Paisley, Cole Swindell, Chris Stapleton, Lainey Wilson, Megan Maroney, Ashley McBride. Who else is there? Chris Young. I didn't say Chris Young earlier. Turnpike Troubadours. John Party. That's 9. There's 2 more missing. Who would be the older one? Would it be Brooks and Dunn or something like that? Maybe Brooks and Dunn, 10. And who would be the 11th? I wonder. Who would be the 11th? It's not Cody Johnson. It's not Parker McCollum. I'm just guessing. But they've been there too many years in a row. They got to take a break or else they're going to burn themselves out. So you get those guys out. Maybe, in Randy Rogers' band, I don't see them booking them for that. So then you start maybe Riley Green. No, Riley Green's got a show at 713 Music Hall in February, so it couldn't be him. Man, I'm drawing blanks on who the 11th star could be. I'm guessing maybe another Texas act, Coe Wetzel. Would they call him rock, though? See, to me, he's rock. He was my first thought of country rock, by the way. So we'll have to find out. January 11th, 2024, we get the full lineup for the Rodeo Houston 2024. I'm excited about it. You can't rodeo without the bull. I plan to be there every day, just as I have in the past. We will have a new location, though. I don't know if I'm supposed to say that or not, but that's the plan. We are going to be moved to a new location, TBD. So if that happens, I will be sure to pass on all the confirmed and validated information. Till then, I enjoy you, or I'm very grateful that you listen to this entire podcast. That means the world to me. And I hope you enjoy this interview I did with Zach Topp. Again, he's originally from the Northwest area. in Washington, grew up on a cattle ranch, and he has an incredible story, incredible personality, charisma, incredible music. He's a God-fearing country boy, and the music is spectacular. I hope you enjoy this interview. Be sure to follow along. Hit the follow button, like, subscribe, share this podcast with any of your friends if you enjoyed it. Thank you for taking the time to listen, and feel free to reach out to me on Instagram, TheBullHouston. Here, without further ado, in front of a live studio audience from the Odyssey Houston Live Lounge, this is an interview with Zach Topp.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Odyssey Live Lounge, Odyssey Houston with 100.3 The Bull. Good afternoon. My name is Nick Russo. We are recording this in front of a live studio audience. Audience, give me some woo-hoo.
Come on.
And we're welcoming back to Houston, Texas, Zach Topp. How you doing, Zach?
Just marvelous. Thank you for having me.
So I told you I was going to let you know what Google said.
Yes. Whenever what does Google have to say?
Google says you're from Eastern Washington, and you grew up wanting to be the next George Strait.
Yes, that was the ever since I was about 3 years old. I thought he looked pretty cool in a cowboy hat and holding a guitar, and so I figured I took my first guitar lesson when I was 5 years old, and the teacher asked me what I wanted to learn to play, and I said Amarillo by Morning for the first thing, and she said, well, that's a nice idea. Maybe we can start with Jesus Loves Me and work our way up to that.
Well, you are deep in George Strait country, just so you know.
I'm telling you.
Yeah, the Astrodome, which we can see from here, that's where he made his debut at Rodeo Houston in 83 or 84 when Eddie Rabbit couldn't make it, so they called him, and he was chasing his dog, and they literally had to go get him and ask him. He's like, well, once I find my dog, I'll come over there. So you're on the right track, man.
I appreciate
that. What was the allure of George Strait before learning the guitar, and what were those first times like hearing George Strait that you remember?
I mean, it was kind of – that's what my parents had playing growing up. That was what was always around the house, and it was kind of him and Marty Robbins actually was the other big one. My dad had one cassette tape in his old blue pickup when we'd ride up to feed cattle. He had that old Marty Robbins Gunfighters and Trail Ballads – Trail Songs. Yeah, Gunfighter Ballads and Trail Songs record in there, and I guess he figured once they made a better cassette, he'd put it in there, but that was the only one I ever seen in that truck. So we listened to a lot of that and then a lot of George Strait. And I don't know, it just hooked me, man, as long as I can remember. I just loved country music and the way, you know, the old greats made it.
So. Well, you know, after listening to a lot of the music you've released, you certainly hold that traditional sound, without a doubt. And I think knowing that sound comes from being in a rural environment, right? And so Eastern Washington, for the non-geography majors here, it's really close to Idaho, Montana, and there's a lot of countryside, undiscovered land. So did you grow up in a country environment like that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I grew up on a farm, and my dad raised Black Angus cattle and ran a sale barn out there, and he still does, still runs a sale barn out there. And, but yeah, I wanted to be a cowboy for a minute, want to be a team roper or something before I realized I was no good at that. And I could play and sing a little bit. And so I stuck with the guitar and the singing and probably ended up with a few less broken bones, I suppose. But yeah, grew up very, you know, quintessential country lifestyle, I suppose.
I imagine you had some really good steak dinners with the dad as a cow.
Oh, Lord, yes. Still got some. He always, whenever they get the chance to come out to Tennessee, they bring us a bit of beef or so. So
I know you went on a tour. The last year has been incredibly crazy for you. You've been doing all the groundwork. You were at White Oak Music Hall here a few months ago. Yes, a big shout out to Reese. He's here. He was part of that show. We sent him to check you out. And I guess, you know, getting signed by the label, kind of on your own tour, going through all this stuff, have you had a second to kind of, you know, look at the whirlwind you're on, and what's that been like for you in the last year?
It's funny. I don't know that I have quite had a second. It's pretty wild because, you know, this year is finally the first year I've been since April just doing music full time. Before that, I was doing a little contracting on the side. I'm a carpenter and stuff. And so this year, though, has been the first time that it's just been really nothing but 100% being on the road playing music. And it's funny because that's what I've always wanted to do and what I feel like I'm meant to do. And it's just been going so fast. It's like you said, I kind of haven't had a second to sit and realize that it's like, dang, man, whatever happens after this, it's kind of, I feel like, you know, I've made it in a sense that it's, I wouldn't rather be doing anything else. And so as long as I can keep this going, I'll do it.
Yeah, that's amazing. Because, you know, it's the old, you know, quote about doing something you love. It's never feel like you're working a day in your life, you know. And so congratulations to you for having that sort of come into life now. Thank you, man. Yeah, you're very welcome. Now,
I felt like I was working when I woke up at 4 a.m. to catch this flight, but other than that, I have a lot of fun.
And then you get the guitar. Do you fly with the guitar too?
Oh yeah.
A little nervous with that?
I spent a bunch of money on a case so that I wouldn't have to be quite as nervous. Still a little, but.
So now, you know, obviously it's, you know, we're really getting to know each other, but one of the best ways to get to know an artist is through their music. Tell me about your songwriting experience, you know, collaborating. Have you collaborated with other songwriters, or do you prefer to write by yourself?
No, I honestly, it's funny. All growing up and stuff, I never put much effort into songwriting. I just had a bunch of songs I loved by other artists, and so I was just covering everything. And when I started, I guess back in 2018, I got hooked up with my producer, a guy named Carson Chamberlain, who's a big hit writer and hit producer on a lot of different guys. And he kind of, when we started talking, he brought it up to me that he's like, you ever write anything? You know, I'd written probably a half a dozen songs and maybe two of them that I'd let people hear. So I told him, yeah, I'd be interested in it. I ain't done much of it. And so he was kind enough to kind of take me and show me the ropes. And since he'd had such a long, great career in Nashville, was able to get me in the room with a lot of other great, great writers. So I feel like I got to go straight to first class writers to, you know, and I just sat there like a sponge and try to soak up everything I could and learn everything I could from them. And slowly over time, start to feel like I was contributing a little bit. So it was, I guess, yeah, in my musical journey, songwriting came along late, but that's become about my favorite thing to do. It's awesome to, you know, see those things from the start, just the little seed of an idea and a melody and a lyric and everything, and then see them come to fruition in the studio. And once you finally get them recorded and stuff, it's fun to see that whole journey of them. And I love me some songwriting.
Man, that's awesome, dude. And that explains, you know, because just hearing you kind of, you know, mess with the guitar and just sing a few riffs here and there, and you could tell that the music is in you without a doubt. It just kind of flows through. So I love that you're getting to do that. Now, looking through some of your music, you got a song called Bad Luck.
Yes, sir.
Tell me about this one, and yeah. And I know you're going to play a few songs for us, so I'll let you take it from there.
Yeah, Bad Luck is a goofy little song. Has that kind of, you know, little minory kind of gallopy feel. It feels a little bit like a cowboy song. There's nothing in there that's very cowboy about the lyrics, but to me, it reminds me of some of those old Marty Robbins type things, and the groove on it is just infectious, I think. You can't help but tap your toe a little bit to it. And but anyway, yeah, wrote it. I can't remember. I think this was Carson Chamberlain's idea. Wrote that with him and Mark Nessler, who's big hit songwriter, wrote Just to See You Smile and Living Well, and he had a handful of things on Straight and a bunch of hits over the years. But anyway, we wrote this little song. It's kind of funny. I never thought it would be a big old hit with everybody. I loved the song and kind of felt like it would probably be like, it's my favorite song on the record, but probably most people ain't going to pay much attention to it.
To be the next George Strait.
Yes, that was the, ever since I was about 3 years old, I thought he looked pretty cool in a cowboy hat and holding a guitar. And so I figured, I took my first guitar lesson when I was 5 years old, and the teacher asked me what I wanted to learn to play, and I said Amarillo by Morning for the first thing. And she said, well, that's a nice idea. Maybe we can start with Jesus Loves Me and work our way up to that.
Well, you are deep in George Strait country, just so you know.
I'm telling you.
Yeah, the Astrodome, which we can see from here, that's where he made his debut at Rodeo Houston in 83 or 84 when Eddie Rabbit couldn't make it, so they called him, and he was chasing his dog, and they literally had to go get him and ask him. He's like, well, once I find my dog, I'll come up there. So you're on the right track, man.
I appreciate
that. What was the allure of George Strait before learning the guitar, and what were those first times like hearing George Strait that you remember?
I mean, it was kind of, that's what my parents had playing growing up. That was what was always around the house, and it was kind of him and Marty Robbins actually was the other big one. My dad had one cassette tape in his old blue pickup. When we'd ride up to feed cattle, he had that old Marty Robbins Gunfighters and Trail Ballads, Trail Songs. Yeah, Gunfighter Ballads and Trail Songs record in there. And I guess he figured once they made a better cassette, he'd put it in there. But that was the only one I ever seen in that truck. So we listened to a lot of that and then a lot of George Strait. And I don't know, it just hooked me, man, as long as I can remember. I just loved country music and the way, you know, the old greats made it.
So. Well, you know, after listening to a lot of the music you've released, you certainly hold that traditional sound without a doubt. And I think knowing that sound comes from being in a rural environment, right? And so Eastern Washington, you know, for the non-geography majors here, it's really close to Idaho, Montana, and there's a lot of countryside, undiscovered land. So did you grow up in a country environment like that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I grew up on a farm, and my dad raised Black Angus cattle and ran a sale barn out there, and he still does, still runs a sale barn out there. And, but yeah, we, you know, I guess I wanted to be a cowboy for a minute, want to be a team roper or something before I realized I was no good at that. And I could play and sing a little bit. And so I stuck with the guitar and the singing and probably ended up with a few less broken bones, I suppose. But yeah, grew up very, you know, quintessential country lifestyle, I suppose.
I imagine you had some really good steak dinners with the dad as a cow.
Oh, Lord, yes. Still got some. He always, whenever they get the chance to come out to Tennessee, they bring us a bit of beef or so. So
I know you went on a tour. The last year has been incredibly crazy for you. You've been doing all the groundwork. You were at White Oak Music Hall here a few months ago. Yes, big shout out to Reese. He's here. He was part of that show. We sent him to check you out. And I guess, you know, getting signed by the label, kind of on your own tour, going through all this stuff, have you had a second to kind of, you know, look at the whirlwind you're on, and what's that been like for you in the last year?
It's funny. I don't know that I have quite had a second. It's pretty wild because, you know, this year is finally the first year I've been since April just doing music full time. Before that, I was doing a little contracting on the side. I'm a carpenter and stuff. And so this year, though, has been the first time that it's just been really nothing but 100% being on the road playing music. And it's funny because that's what I've always wanted to do and what I feel like I'm meant to do. And it's just been going so fast. It's like you said, I kind of haven't had a second to sit and realize that it's like, dang, man, whatever happens after this, it's kind of, I feel like, you know, I've made it in a sense that it's, I wouldn't rather be doing anything else. And so as long as I can keep this going, I'll do it.
Yeah, that's amazing. Because, you know, it's the old, you know, quote about doing something you love. It's never feel like you're working a day in your life, you know. And so congratulations to you for having that sort of come into life now. Thank you, man. You're very welcome. Now,
I felt like I was working when I woke up at 4 a.m. to catch this flight. But other than that, I have a lot of fun.
And then you get the guitar. Do you fly with the guitar, too?
Oh, yeah.
A little nervous with that?
I spent a bunch of money on a case so that I wouldn't have to be quite as nervous. Still a little, but.
So now, you know, obviously, it's, you know, we're really getting to know each other, but one of the best ways to get to know an artist is through their music. Tell me about your songwriting experience, you know, collaborating. Have you collaborated with other songwriters, or do you prefer to write by yourself?
No, I honestly, it's funny. All growing up and stuff, I never put much effort into songwriting. I just had a bunch of songs I loved by other artists, and so I was just covering everything. And when I started, I guess back in 2018, I got hooked up with my producer, a guy named Carson Chamberlain, who's a big hit writer and hit producer on a lot of different guys. And he kind of, when we started talking, he brought it up to me that he's like, you ever write anything? You know, I'd written probably a half a dozen songs and maybe two of them that I'd let people hear. So I told him, yeah, I'd be interested in it. I ain't done much of it. And so he was kind enough to kind of take me and show me the ropes. And since he'd had such a long, great career in Nashville, was able to get me in the room with a lot of other great, great writers. So I feel like I got to go straight to first class writers to, you know, and I just sat there like a sponge and try to soak up everything I could and learn everything I could from them. And slowly over time start to feel like I was contributing a little bit. So it was, I guess, yeah, in my musical journey, songwriting came along late, but that's become about my favorite thing to do. It's awesome to, you know, see those things from the start, just the little seed of an idea and a melody and a lyric and everything, and then see them come to fruition in the studio. And once you finally get them recorded and stuff, it's fun to see that whole journey of them. And I love me some songwriting.
Man, that's awesome, dude. And that explains, you know, because just hearing you kind of, you know, mess with the guitar and just sing a few riffs here and there, and you could tell that the music is in you without a doubt. It just kind of flows through. So I love that you're getting to do that. Now, looking through some of your music, you got a song called Bad Luck.
Yes, sir.
Tell me about this one, and and I know you're going to play a few songs for us, so I'll let you take it from there.
Yeah, Bad Luck is a goofy little song. has that kind of, you know, little minory kind of gallopy feel. It feels a little bit like a cowboy song. There's nothing in there that's very cowboy about the lyrics, but to me, it reminds me of some of those old Marty Robbins type things, and the groove on it is just infectious, I think. You can't help but tap your toe a little bit to it. And but anyway, yeah, wrote it, I can't remember. I think this was Carson Chamberlain's idea. Wrote that with him and Mark Nessler, who's big hit songwriter, wrote Just to See You Smile and Living Well, and he had a handful of things on Straight and a bunch of hits over the years. But anyway, wrote this little song. It's kind of funny. I never thought it would be a big old hit with everybody. I loved the song and kind of felt like it would probably be like, it's my favorite song on the record, but probably most people ain't going to pay much attention to it. But it's as far as the stuff we've got out, it's blown up for us this year. People really seem to be loving it, and that definitely gets the biggest pop out at the live shows, and so it's been fun to play. And you want me to start with that one? You want to just go on it? All right.
Yeah, Zach Top, Bad Luck.
My lucky star fell out of the sky right before my wishing well went dry. Seems every which way I go, there's a black cat crossing the road. Played the lottery with last month's rent, and I'm still waiting on my ship to come in. Bad luck was always hanging around, a good roll was always letting me down. I had every reason in the world to give up, but you came along and now it's gone so long. Bad luck. My first love said she'd love me for life, slipped out one night and never told me goodbye. My second love convinced me love again, oh, but then she left me for my best friend. My third and fourth went crazy as hell, I even bought a rabbit's foot, but that didn't help. Bad luck was always hanging around, a good roll was always letting me down. I had every reason in the world to give up, but you came along and now it's gone so long. Bad luck. Oh, let's pick. You were my lucky four-leaf clover, the horseshoe over my shoulder. 7 come 11, girl, I'm lucky I found you. Bad luck was always hanging around, a good roll was always letting me down. I had every reason in the world to give up, but you came along and now it's gone so long. Bad luck. So long, bad luck. All so long. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Man, outstanding. And I love that you have a song called Bad Luck and you're having such good luck.
Oh, well, yeah. Since I met her, you know, bad luck's gone.
Amen. So you are married.
I am.
So tell us about your wife.
My wife. What is there to say? Let me try and think of something good.
She's going to hear it. You know she's going to listen.
I'm just kidding. No, yeah, she's wonderful. We met out in Colorado. I lived in Colorado for about 5 years. She's from there originally. Met in school at CU Boulder. I only lasted about a year there before I was honorably discharged. And she went ahead and finished her degree because she's the brains of the operation. And But yeah, we met in a little church thing, a college church kind of deal, and I think she laid hands on me in a prayer circle, and I thought, dang, this chick means business, and the rest is history.
I love that story, man. That might be a song in itself. That's so great. That's so great, y'all. So clearly not short on sense of humor as well.
Well.
And you grew up a little bit like I did, I think, because you got a song called Cold Beer and Country Music.
Mm-hmm.
And so tell me about this song and what it means to you and how you came around it.
Yeah, I guess this song's about me to a T. I like to say anybody that comes out to my shows, they're going to get plenty of two things, and that's cold beer and country music. But I guess, hell, I think I had my first beer when I was about 12 years old or something, maybe younger than that. I don't know. I won't throw my dad under the bus too much. But got me a fine taste for Coors beer early on, and that didn't go away. And of course, I love me some country music, so this is just kind of about that. Hey, bartender, I need me one of those long necks. Yeah, man, that's good, that's about as good as it gets. Here's a 24 the jukebox, crank it up, please. Here's another 50, run a tab for me. And all that stew's not taken, girl, you could sit right there. And old Joe will take good care of you, cause he cares. No, I didn't come in here looking for no romance. Hell, I didn't even come here looking for one of those one-night stands. I don't need to talk. I don't need no shrink. I don't need to dance or hear what you think. All I need to keep me from losing it is good cold beer and country music. Well, girl, I hope I didn't come off too much like a big jerk. But I'm here to treat myself to a little bit of self-work. If you'd sit down on that stool any other night, I'd be buying you drinks, feeding you lines, working on a real good time. But tonight I don't need to talk. I don't need no shrink. I don't need to dance or hear what you think. All I need to keep me from losing it is good cold beer and country music. Is good cold beer and country music. All I need to keep me from losing it is good cold beer and country music. All good country music. Thank you.
Man, it's like the world just spins around you when you get going.
Wow, I appreciate that.
It's so incredible.
Is that right?
Yeah, man. Okay. It's like you're born out of the out of my '90s country memories comes you. Like you're like this sort of conglomeration of all of them.
Well, I appreciate that.
Yeah, man. And like the song before too was it reminded me of Clint Black a little bit. Mm-hmm. A good run of bad luck.
Absolutely.
Right.
Yeah.
It's kind of in that same 100%. Vein. And then that one just. Just that traditional sound, man. It just,
yes, sir.
There's not a lot of people doing that.
Nope.
And then when I, you know, we're fortunate that we get to meet artists like you ahead of the time. A lot of people haven't yet been introduced to your music. So it makes it twice as special, I think, to get to have these sort of close encounter moments with your music.
Heck yeah.
Really awesome. Now, you got a few more songs for us today, including your upcoming radio single, which I'm a huge fan of, by the way. We love it. And it's great for radio. We'll get to that in a sec.
Yeah.
But the song Use Me sounds like we have some heartbreak incoming.
Oh, Lord, yes. Well, I tell you what. I don't know if, I mean, you listen to a lot of 90s country, obviously, so you'll know. They used to write a lot of good cheating songs in country music, and not many people write them anymore. And I don't know if that's just because people quit cheating or they quit talking about it. And I don't know if I want the answer to that, but this is my...
I think we know the answer.
But anyway, I do love me a good cheating song. I don't know why that is, but this is my best rendition of it now, a song called Use Me. He said, I don't know your story. I just know you look lonely. Fancy that, I'm lonely too. We both got our reasons. No reason to share them. Let's just dance. Hold me closer to you. And maybe just for tonight, tell me you love me. Tell me you need me. I know we both know it ain't true. And I'll whisper your everything I've ever wanted. I'll pretend if you'll pretend to. Oh, tell me you love me and use me like I'm using you. She said, don't ask for my number, and I won't ask for yours. Some things are best left alone. So just kiss me again, like this never ends, like there's no one waiting at home. Oh, and tell me you love me. Tell me you need me. I know we both know it ain't true. And I'll whisper your everything I've ever wanted. I'll pretend if you pretend to. Oh, tell me you love me and use me like I'm using you. Baby, I'll whisper your everything I've ever wanted. I'll pretend if you'll pretend to. Oh, tell me you love me and use me like I'm using you. Oh, like I'm using you.
Man, so good, so good. Appreciate cheating songs, that. Man. So also, I see you just picking like crazy there too. On every song, you seem to have sort of your own little riffs there. And you started off by telling us sort of your beginnings of country music was learning the guitar.
Oh yeah.
You strum it like it's a Fender.
Like it's a well, yeah. I play Telecaster on most of my live shows and stuff. But yeah, I grew up playing the bluegrass stuff. So definitely know my way around a flat top probably better than a Telecaster, but I'm trying.
Man, you crush it though. You're, thank you. Yeah, and such a smooth voice, man. I just really, really love your delivery. It's really, really outstanding. Now,
thanks.
I also wanted to ask about "There's the Sun," because that last song's, you know, obviously kind of riddled in heartbreak and cheating, a little bit sad, but "There's the Sun" is a little more optimistic.
Oh, yeah.
Am I reading into that the right way?
Yeah. Oh, definitely. This is a good old, feels like an 80s power love ballad or something. So, yeah, I love this song. It's, I'll tell you what, when I guess "Use Me," I wrote not too long ago. "There's the Sun's" been around for a couple years. My wife liked "There's the Sun" when I wrote it. I tell you what, she was really excited about "Use Me" when I brought that one home. So I don't know if that's cause for concern or not, but, now she loves this song too, and this is one of my favorites I've been a part of writing. I might sound crazy now, but I'll say it anyhow, 'cause I want you to hear my heart, baby. I'll never win no prize for pretty words and rhymes, but you feel what I'm feeling, baby. Thought I knew what beautiful was. There's the sun, there's the moon, there's million-dollar skyline views, and there's Rocky Mountain highs, oceans rolling wild and blue. There's the sun, there's the moon, then there's you. Baby, just think about, could you imagine life without all those things, all those beautiful things? Now you know what I'd feel like with no you in my life, like the stars with no sky to hold 'em. That world ain't one I wanna live in, girl. There's the sun, there's the moon, there's million-dollar skyline views, and there's Rocky Mountain highs, oceans rolling wild and blue. There's the sun, there's the moon, then there's you. Thought I knew what beautiful was. There's the sun, there's the moon, there's million-dollar skyline views, and there's Rocky Mountain highs, oceans rolling wild and blue. There's the sun, there's the moon, then there's you. Thank you very much.
That one's screaming Keith Whitley vibes, man.
Thank you, brother. I appreciate that. That's my favorite singer ever.
Man, that opening, man, yeah. It's just like right out of When I Close My Eyes. It was just like,
I appreciate
that. And you, like I said, your delivery, I know I'm harping on it over and over again, man. This is the first time I got to hear you sing. And I've heard your praises for quite some time, you know, not just Tracy and the like, but also one of the guys who works here, Reese. He got to see it wide open. He came back, and I'm going to quote him, "That dude's the real deal." That's what he said. And I'll tell you, Reese, you're right, my man. You're right. We're so honored we get to hear this. And you had a special request for Reese, I believe, right?
Oh, yeah,
you said we were going to jam for him just a little bit. And then we'll play the radio single, which,
yes, sir,
again, is perfect for the radio.
I got to see if I can remember this song, because Reese dug deep back in my catalog. Not that my catalog's all that deep, but it's been a second since I played this song. This came out on a bluegrass record I had I guess it came out in 2019 or something, 2020.
I've been playing
at KBO too. I thought it's an A. Yeah, it's an A, but it's still early in the day for a singer, so I gotta drop it a half a step. We're gonna do it in A flat for those of you playing along at home. But yeah, this song called In a World Gone Wrong, it was, I think it got to be a number 3 hit for us on the bluegrass charts back in the day on Sirius Radio and all the other bluegrass stations out there. Very thankful for that. We'll see if I remember it. It's been turning round a million years. In what little bit of time that I've been here, you're the only thing that's gone right in a world gone wrong. I've seen fire, hell on earth, felt the rain try to wash away the hurt, but you're the only thing that's gone right in a world gone wrong. Just one look at you and it's all better. Girl, you hold me all together. You're the rock that I keep rolling to. And sitting here with you tonight, once again I realize every good thing in my life points straight to you. I've been lied to and been let down, had dreams and plans that never quite worked out, but you're the only thing that's gone right in a world gone wrong. Just wanna look at you and it's all better. Girl, you hold me all together. You're the rock that I keep rolling to. Sitting here with you tonight, once again I realize every good thing in my life points straight to you. It's been turning round a million years, but every trip around the sun, it gets more clear that you're the only thing that's gone right in a world gone wrong. You're the only thing that's gone right in a world gone wrong.
So nobody could probably answer this question better than you. Bluegrass versus country music. What are the sort of nuances and the style differences there?
I mean, big one is bluegrass is all acoustic. No, they'll throw you off the stage and boo you out of town if you bring a drum set or an amp on stage at a bluegrass festival. So
there it is.
I've been excommunicated since picking up a Telecaster. But no, I'm just kidding. But yeah, I mean, it's a lot of that. And, you know, it's Appalachian music coming out of Kentucky. You know, there's less of a cowboy thing in bluegrass and more of a mountain people type of thing, which yeah. I love them all. And I love the, you know, I think that's growing up that way and having such a big bluegrass influence, it kind of sets me apart from a lot of what guys are doing nowadays. And there's definitely been, you know, you mentioned Keith Whitley earlier. He come from the bluegrass world as well. And then Ricky Skaggs was the other big one that came from the bluegrass world. And, yeah, Vince Gill, too, big bluegrass
background. And that's where they got connected with Allison Krauss, too.
Yeah, exactly, that whole thing. And I just think it brings kind of a fun, unique angle at country music that that sets it apart a little bit, that old high lonesome sound.
Well, it's been evolved. It's an evolved sound, right?
Exactly.
Because because you're clearly influenced by so much, and you mentioning the bluegrass, you know, being at the root of kind of how you make music, it leans you into the traditional sound, which is now starting to really come full circle again, where the audience is sort of craving that,
and 100%.
You're really gravitating towards that, and you've kind of married the two styles. So
yes, sir.
But with all that also comes the radio songs, right? And there's always this different pop to songs on the radio, and we all experience it where you hear a song on the radio that you love on a CD, and then you hear on the radio like. Okay, but then you hear songs you don't really like, but you hear on the radio, and you're like, wow, that song sounds like a radio song.
Yep.
Tell me about your relationship with country radio and what it means to you to have a single going to country radio.
Yeah.
And then also please introduce your single.
Yeah, absolutely. Country radio is a big deal to me. I think that there's not as much attention being paid to it since the... you know, the big takeover of DSPs, I guess, basically. But I love the radio. I think back in the day, the way radio worked was awesome, where it was a discovery tool. The single comes out on the radio, you hear a song you love on the radio, and then you go down to the Walmart and buy yourself the record because you love that song that much. And that's kind of the way we're approaching it, as opposed to a lot of people these days will put the stuff all out to streaming, let it stream a bunch, and you know, whichever song is streaming the most, then it's like, okay, well, that's the one people like, let's go to radio, which I think is kind of funny and backwards, because it's like, hell, now this song has 100 million streams on it, now we'll go to radio with it? Really? I think everybody's heard it by now, and I don't think they want to listen to it for the next year every morning when they drive to work.
Speak, preach.
Yeah, and so that's, you know, we're going day and date, January 8th, the song's going to streaming and going to radio. And that's my hope, is that people hear something fresh on the radio and radio drives the streams, as opposed to the other way around. Once they hear it on their drive to work in the morning on the radio, they'll go look me up on Spotify and check out the other stuff and, you know, add it to their playlists and whatnot like that. But that's, I love radio. And also, radio just sells tickets, man. It's, you know, there's nothing like it. DSPs can't do that yet. And as far as just reaching and targeting a local market, if I know you all are playing my stuff down in Houston, I know if I come put on a show in Houston, there's going to be people that come out and buy a ticket. As long as it's good stuff, I suppose, but I hope that's the case.
And you have the DJs, too, who are also drawing in that connection to the music, to the artist, and kind of being absolutely the intermediary. So, you know, when I play your song on the radio, I can talk about how awesome of a guy you are, and all the greatness that comes from your history and your upbringing and how you got to being on the radio, and that draws them in even closer.
Absolutely. They feel like, yeah, they've got like, oh, this guy's buddies with Zach Top. I can kind of get to know him a little bit. And also the fact that y'all are tastemakers, you know, there's no curation really on streaming platforms other than the, you know, the big editorial playlists or whatever. But I think there's something special about when your local DJ up for the radio station that you listen to is like, hey, you got to check this new thing out. I've been loving this song. Y'all need to hear it. That's, you know, that's a little more of a personal connection that than people who listen to you every morning. They're going to be like, oh, well, I usually like what he plays, so I'm going to, you know, pay attention to this, as opposed to Spotify. It's just kind of you're throwing a drop into an ocean a little bit with whatever you put out.
I love that word, curation. That is the key.
Yep. Absolutely. So I love it. I think country radio's around for the long haul, and we'll see how it evolves, of course. But I'm very proud to be having a single go out to radio first of next year. And this is it right here. It's a song called Sounds Like the Radio. Well, the day I was born, the doc couldn't believe I came out crying Chattahoochee. Didn't take too long after that for the hair on my head to grow long in the back. Now all the girls want me to pick them up when they hear me rolling by in my pickup truck, 'cause it sounds like the radio. Back in 94, you know, Hook a speaker up to my soul. Yeah, it sounds like the radio. Sounds like a damn good time. Soaking up some neon light. Well, it's a little bit of fiddle and a whole lot of country gold. Yeah, my whole life sounds like the radio. Hey, people call me a walking, talking jukebox. I keep the hits spinning nonstop. Something about a steel guitar moaning the blues makes me want to throw back a case or two. They say honky-tonk heroes go to heaven, you know. Well, maybe that's why everybody wants to go, 'cause it sounds like the radio. Back in 94, you know. Hook a speaker up to my soul. Yeah, it sounds like the radio. Sounds like a damn good time. Soaking up some neon light. Well, it's a little bit of fiddle and a whole lot of country gold. Yeah, my whole life sounds like the radio. So I don't know if that's cause for concern or not, but now she loves this song too, and this is one of my favorites I've been a part of writing. I might sound crazy now, but I'll say it anyhow. 'Cause I want you to hear my heart, baby. I'll never win no prize for pretty words and rhymes, but you'll feel what I'm feeling, baby. Thought I knew what beautiful was. There's the sun, there's the moon, there's million-dollar skyline views. And there's Rocky Mountain highs, oceans rolling wild and blue. There's the sun, there's the moon, then there's you. Baby, just think about, could you imagine life without all those things, all those beautiful things? Now you know what I'd feel like with no you in my life, like the stars with no sky to hold them. That world ain't what I wanna live in, girl. There's the sun, there's the moon, there's million-dollar skyline views. And there's Rocky Mountain highs, oceans rolling wild and blue. There's the sun, there's the moon, then there's you. Thought I knew what beautiful was. There's the sun, there's the moon, there's million-dollar skyline views. And there's Rocky Mountain highs, oceans rolling wild and blue. There's the sun, there's the moon,
then there's you.
Thank you very much.
That one's screaming Keith Whitley vibes, man.
Thank you, brother. I appreciate that. That's my favorite singer ever.
Man, that opening, man, yeah. It's just like right out of When I Close My Eyes. It was just like,
I appreciate
that. And you, like I said, your delivery, I know I'm harping on it over and over again, man. This is the first time I got to hear you sing. And I've heard your praises for quite some time, you know, not just Tracy and the like, but also one of the guys who works here, Reese. He got to see it wide open. He came back, and I'm going to quote him. That dude's the real deal. What he said. And I'll tell you, Reese, you're right, my man. You're right. We're so honored we get to hear this. And you had a special request for Reese, I believe, right?
Oh, yeah, did
you said
I
we were
going to
jam for him just a little bit. And then we'll play the radio single, which,
yes, sir.
Again, is perfect for the radio.
I got to see if I can remember this song because Reese dug deep back in my catalog. Not that my catalog's all that deep, but it's been a second since I played this song. This came out on a bluegrass record I had I guess it came out in 2019 or something, 2020. I had a boy. Yeah, it's in A, but I'm it's still early in the day for a singer, so I gotta drop it a half a step. We're gonna do it in A flat for those of you playing along at home. But yeah, this song called In a World Gone Wrong. It was I think it got to be a number 3 hit for us on the bluegrass charts back in the day on Sirius Radio and all the other bluegrass stations out there. Very thankful for that. We'll see if I remember it. It's been turning round a million years. In what little bit of time that I've been here, you're the only thing that's gone right in a world gone wrong. I've seen fire, hell on earth, felt the rain try to wash away the hurt, but you're the only thing that's gone right in a world gone wrong. Just one look at you and it's all better. Girl, you hold me all together. You're the rock that I keep rolling to. And sitting here with you tonight, once again I realize every good thing in my life points straight to you. I've been lied to and then let down. Had dreams and plans that never quite worked out. But you're the only thing that's gone right in a world gone wrong. Just wanna look at you and it's all better. Girl, you hold me all together. You're the rock that I keep rolling to. Sitting here with you tonight, once again I realize every good thing in my life points straight to you. It's been turning round a million years, but every trip around the sun, it gets more clear that you're the only thing that's gone right in a world gone wrong. You're the only thing that's gone right in a world gone wrong.
So nobody could probably answer this question better than you. Bluegrass versus country music. What are the sort of nuances and the style differences there?
I mean, big one is bluegrass is all acoustic. No, they'll throw you off the stage and boo you out of town if you bring a drum set or an amp on stage at a bluegrass festival. So
there it is.
I've been excommunicated since picking up a Telecaster. But no, I'm just kidding. But yeah, I mean, it's a lot of that. And, you know, it's Appalachian music coming out of Kentucky. You know, there's less of a cowboy thing in bluegrass and more of a mountain people type of thing, which yeah. I love them all. And I love the, you know, I think that's growing up that way and having such a big bluegrass influence, is it kind of sets me apart from a lot of what guys are doing nowadays. And there's definitely been, you know, you mentioned Keith Whitley earlier. He came from the bluegrass world as well. And then Ricky Skaggs was the other big one that came from the bluegrass world. And, yeah, Vince Gill, too, big bluegrass
background. And that's where they got connected with Alison Krauss, too.
Yeah, exactly, that whole thing. And I just think it brings kind of a fun, unique angle at country music that sets it apart a little bit, that old high lonesome sound.
Well, it's been evolved. It's an evolved sound, right?
Exactly.
Because because you're clearly influenced by so much, and you mentioning the bluegrass, you know, being at the root of kind of how you make music, it leans you into the traditional sound, which is now starting to really come full circle again, where the audience is sort of craving that,
and 100%.
You're really gravitating towards that, and you've kind of married the two styles. So
yes, sir.
But with all that also comes the radio songs, right? And there's always this different pop to songs on the radio, and we all experience it, where you hear a song on the radio that you love on a CD, and then you hear on the radio like, okay, but then you hear songs you don't really like, but you hear on the radio, and you're like, wow, that song sounds like a radio song.
Yep.
Tell me about your relationship with country radio and what it means to you to have a single going to country radio.
Yep.
And then also please introduce your single.
Yeah, absolutely. Country radio is a big deal to me. I think that there's not as much attention being paid to it since the you know, the big takeover of DSPs, I guess, basically. But I love the radio. I think back in the day, the way radio worked was awesome, where it was a discovery tool. The single comes out on the radio, you hear a song you love on the radio, and then you go down to the Walmart and buy yourself the record because you love that song that much. And that's kind of the way we're approaching it, as opposed to a lot of people these days will put the stuff all out to streaming, let it stream a bunch, and you know, whichever song is streaming the most, then it's like, okay, well, that's the one people like, let's go to radio, which I think is kind of funny and backwards, because it's like, hell, now this song has 100 million streams on it, now we'll go to radio with it? Really? I think everybody's heard it by now, and I don't think they want to listen to it for the next year every morning when they drive to work.
Speak, preach.
Yeah, and so that's, you know, we're going day and date, January 8th, the song's going to streaming and going to radio. And that's my hope, is that people hear something fresh on the radio and radio drives the streams, as opposed to the other way around. Once they hear it on their drive to work in the morning on the radio, they'll go look me up on Spotify and check out the other stuff and, you know, add it to their playlists and whatnot like that. But that's, I love radio. And also, radio just sells tickets, man. It's, you know, there's nothing like it. DSPs can't do that yet. And as far as just reaching and targeting a local market, if I know you all are playing my stuff down in Houston, I know if I come put on a show in Houston, there's going to be people that come out and buy a ticket. As long as it's good stuff, I suppose, but I hope that's the case.
And you have the DJs, too, who are also drawing in that connection to the music, to the artist, and kind of being
absolutely
the intermediary. So, you know, when I play your song on the radio, I can talk about how awesome of a guy you are, and all the greatness that comes from your history and your upbringing and how you got to being on the radio, and that draws them in even closer.
Absolutely. They feel like, yeah, they've got like, oh, this guy's buddies with Zach Top. I can kind of get to know him a little bit. And also the fact that y'all are tastemakers, you know, there's no curation really on streaming platforms other than the, you know, the big editorial playlists or whatever. But I think there's something special about when your local DJ up for the radio station that you listen to is like, hey, you got to check this new thing out, I've been loving this song, y'all need to hear it. That's, you know, that's a little more of a personal connection that than people who listen to you every morning. They're going to be like, oh, well, I usually like what he plays, so I'm going to, you know, pay attention to this, as opposed to Spotify. It's just kind of, you're throwing a drop into an ocean a little bit with whatever you put out.
I love that word, curation. That is the key.
Yep. Absolutely. So I love it. I think country radio's around for the long haul, and we'll see how it evolves, of course. But I'm very proud to be having a single go out to radio first of next year. And This is it right here. It's a song called Sounds Like the Radio. Well, the day I was born, the doc couldn't believe I came out crying Chattahoochee. Didn't take too long after that for the hair on my head to grow long in the back. Now all the girls want me to pick them up when they hear me rolling by in my pickup truck, 'cause it sounds like the radio back in 94, you know. Hook a speaker up to my soul, yeah, it sounds like the radio. Sounds like a damn good time, soaking up some neon light. Well, it's a little bit of fiddle and a whole lot of country gold. Yeah, my whole life sounds like the radio. Hey, people call me a walking, talking jukebox. I keep the hits spinning nonstop. Something about a steel guitar moaning the blues makes me want to throw back a case or two. They say honky-tonk heroes go to heaven, you know. Well, maybe that's why everybody wants to go, 'cause it sounds like the radio back in 94, you know. Hook a speaker up to my soul, yeah, it sounds like the radio. Sounds like a damn good time, soaking up some neon light. Well, it's a little bit of fiddle and a whole lot of country gold. Yeah, my whole life sounds like the radio. Lay me down in the ground next to an old beer joint with a party crowd, where it sounds like the radio back in 94, you know. Hook a speaker up to my soul, yeah, it sounds like the radio. Sounds like a damn good time, soaking up some neon light. Well, it's a little bit of fiddle and a whole lot of country gold. Yeah, my whole life sounds like the radio. I said my whole life sounds like the radio. Thank you very much. To get editorial playlists or whatever. But I think there's something special about when your local DJ up for the radio station that you listen to is like, hey, you got to check this new thing out. I've been loving this song. Y'all need to hear it. That's, you know, that's a little more of a personal connection that than people who listen to you every morning. They're going to be like, oh, well, I usually like what he plays, so I'm going to, you know, pay attention to this, as opposed to Spotify. It's just kind of you're throwing a drop into an ocean a little bit with whatever you put out.
I love that word, curation. That is the key.
Yep. Absolutely. So I love it. I think country radio's around for the long haul, and we'll see how it evolves, of course. But I'm very proud to be having a single go out to radio first of next year. And this is it right here. It's a song called Sounds Like the Radio. Well, the day I was born, the doc couldn't believe I came out crying Chattahoochee. Didn't take too long after that for the hair on my head to grow long in the back. Now all the girls want me to pick them up when they hear me rolling by in my pickup truck, 'cause it sounds like the radio back in 94, you know. Hook a speaker up to my soul, yeah, it sounds like the radio. sounds like a damn good time. Soaking up some neon light. Well, it's a little bit of fiddle and a whole lot of country gold. Yeah, my whole life sounds like the radio. Hey, people call me a walking, talking jukebox. I keep the hits spinning nonstop. Something about a steel guitar moaning the blues makes me want to throw back a case or two. They say honky-tonk heroes go to heaven, you know. Well, maybe that's why everybody wants to go, 'cause it sounds like the radio. Back in 94, you know, hook a speaker up to my soul. Yeah, it sounds like the radio. Sounds like a damn good time. Soaking up some neon light. Well, it's a little bit of fiddle and a whole lot of country gold. Yeah, my whole life sounds like the radio. Well, when I die, lay me down in the ground next to an old beer joint with a party crowd, where it sounds like the radio. Back in 94, you know, hook a speaker up to my soul. Yeah, it sounds like the radio. Sounds like a damn good time. Soaking up some neon light. Well, it's a little bit of fiddle and a whole lot of country gold. Yeah, my whole life sounds like the radio. I said my whole life sounds like the radio.
Thank you very much.